Oh, okay. Minutes.
Will there be approved minutes, are you sure?
Do we have minutes on this?
Pass.
We don't have them on this meeting, since it's a special.
On the line.
There are minutes. I talked too fast. Presentations, discussion items, water, wastewater rate study, updates now.
Okay, I'll turn this over to Julie at this point.
Okay, so in front of you, you have three documents. You have the water weight rate, water rate study and the wastewater slash sewer rate study. Items that were updated, I'm gonna, Allison, I'll probably have you, because it's updated from last time. We did a couple knob turnings, I'll let her explain that, and then we'll go back and discuss how we want to move forward.
Okay.
All right, so why don't we start with water? So since the last time we spoke, we looked at the capital improvements on water, and the town had initial pipeline improvement plan, which is very, very aggressive, where it was 2 million a year starting right away, and then, you know, with some cost escalation over 5 years, that adds up pretty quick. And so this revised draft reflects a more gradual phase-in of those pipeline improvements. So that resulted in a reduction of about 6 million in capital projects. So then that all trickles through the rates, resulting in a slightly lower rate plan than the previous draft.
Yeah.
And then just as a point of comparison, the prior rate study from 2016 had assumed a 12% rate increase for this coming fiscal year. So the options presented below are kind of in the middle of that pre-programmed rate increase. So under this new draft, so it's laid out kind of the same as last time, where the first option, option one, is the maximum debt financing that can be issued. So that results in about 1% rate increases over time. So it's really spreading the capital cost over 30 years. And so that's why.
30 years?
Yeah, that's 30 years, and I assume the 4.15% interest. The next option was a new option. Instead of a low debt option, it's a no debt option, just to see as a bookend what that would do to the rates. So that results in a 20% rate increase, followed by a 15% rate increase. And then that kind of brings up the total revenue, so then in the outer years there would be no planned or no needed increase. And then I did a middle option, which is $3 million of financing, which results in, no surprise, a middle rate plan of 5% rate increases each year for over 5 years. Let's see. And then I made the comment last time we spoke that on water, the town's water rates have tended to always be historically fairly low for this area.
Easily to graph.
Yeah. So there's definitely room to absorb some rate increases just in terms of affordability on the water side. So I can pause there if everyone wants to kind of look over the numbers or if anyone has any questions.
In terms of the projects that would be supported by this, and I don't know if it was an Allison question or a staff question, is it reasonable to expect that those funds would be extended over a three-year period if you went out for debt, or you need to go out for maybe a couple of debt issuances over time if you can't get it done within the 3 years?
Well, it depends how much debt we get.
Right.
So
assuming you do debt and you've got
let's
an arbitrage issue you got to deal with, you can't hold it out too long. Is it reasonable to assume that we have the capacity, the staff and the consultant and construction capacity, to expend those funds appropriately over a three-year period?
I would say on option one, it would probably run into a problem.
Okay.
At 7.8 aggressively we were doing $2 million a year.
Right.
So the math there would not compute. I believe on the $3 million would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we could extend that over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly small number.
Yeah.
You know, that if we just, you know, went half year and then with one, it's what, approximately about $1 million,
mm-hmm.
$500,000 to $1 million per mile of the pipe.
Right.
So you think we probably have to do about maybe four miles of pipe,
okay,
in 3 years. That does seem reasonable.
All right. And then I guess for Allison, if you said, okay, well, now let's just use option one as our talking point. If we said, okay, that's the funds that we need for the projects that we have, but we know we can't spend the money over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to break that into two issuances, you know, one, you know, a couple of years after the first one, is there an appreciable effect on your calculations here? Do the numbers change very much?
No, I mean, we're looking at 1% rate increases,
yeah.
So we're kind of like, fractions of pennies,
okay,
or, you know,
so
cents here and there, yeah.
You know, that's some cost of issuance expenses.
That's the main thing, yeah, which you can roll into the financing itself.
Yeah. Okay. That answers my question. Okay. So, moving on.
Okay, so we can switch gears over to sewer. So sewer, we actually added a little bit of capital costs,
mm-hmm,
for cybersecurity and a new truck. And then the feedback I received was that we wanted to maintain a higher level of operating reserves, just because with all of the improvements, we don't quite know what the new budget would be for the new treatment plant. And so we wanted to be a little more fiscally conservative on operation. So instead of, you know, $4.5 million of reserves being transferred from operating to capital, we left an extra million in operating reserves, just as a safety net. And then the prior rate set in 2016 had assumed a 4% increase for this fiscal year, this coming fiscal year. So again, that's kind of right in the middle of some of these different options. Option one was a $4 million financing, which produced rates of just under 3% per year. So it's almost like an inflationary increase. And then a no debt option, which had a 15% increase and a 12% increase. And then kind of the middle option, which was $3 million of financing, which produced 3-5% increase. Answer any questions, or give you a minute or two to kind of.
In terms of you looking at the for wastewater option 2 or 3, what does that do to our total reserves?
Okay.
I will just paste the picture.
Okay. So option 2. So I had that we're starting out at about $4 million in capital reserves.
What page are you on?
Oh, sorry, page 6.
Page what?
6.
6. And then we're making transfers back and forth. We're not issuing any debt. We are, you know, pulling a lot of revenue in from operations, so rate revenue. And then at the end of the 5-year plan, we go from about $3.883 million to about $3.5 million. So the idea is we're spending it as we need it, but we're not severely depleting the reserve at the end of the 5 years. And then on the operations, if we flip the page to page 7, we're spending down the balance. So we're starting at about $4.4 million, and we are spending it down over time. So we go, we start at $4.4 million, we go $3.3 million, $2.2 million, and then about $8 million. So we're getting close to our target balance. months of O&M, but we did leave an extra few $100,000 in there just as that safety net. And then we, towards year 4 and 5, we start to build up the reserve again. So it goes from 1.8 million to 3.7 million to 5.6 million. And then you might say, well, that's kind of an extra buildup of cash. But you can see that the rates are actually 0% in those 2 years. And the problem is that in year 1, 2, 3, we really need a lot of extra cash to fund the capital, but then maybe in the later years, then the rates have been built up, and then do we need that excess capital or cash for capital? Maybe not as much, but you might refinance debt, you might have new projects coming up, you maybe could use that fund balance for other things. All for the benefit of the rate payers, of course.
And then, I just have a question then for wastewater and water. We're looking at about $11.85 million in financing for both. If you had the $4 million from, assuming an option one, you have $4 million for wastewater, that's 7.85 for water, it's 11.85. And hadn't we talked like $14 million or $13 million?
That was only for wastewater.
Just for wastewater.
Just
okay.
For wastewater.
Here.
Never discussed a financing.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
So we only discussed bond financing for the wastewater side, and the project was around $14 million. We never discussed financing anything for the water side as we started increasing pipeline projects and other things like that. So
that's why we had Helen come back with zero financing.
Right.
So with a $3 or $4 million financing for sewer. Balances reserves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, reserves and its current and vis-a-vis coming from the new rate study.
Right.
Is
yes.
Building a lot. We are getting quite a bit of capital from this over the last couple of years from the wastewater.
Yeah.
So it's going there too.
Mm-hmm. Which means
we did do just kind of a little pro forma. We have a $14 million project.
Yeah.
All right, we said we're going to use 3.5 in reserves, so that brings 10 million ish, right? So we had Allison run it for saying, hey, let's just, you know, sit on our cash and do the whole bond for 10 million. But that takes our ratios down to 1.5.
Okay.
And
you're
that's,
yeah.
We
yeah.
can't, they're, that, I wouldn't sleep for the next 3 years. But it's very hard at that point because that doesn't leave any room because we can't go below the 1.25.
Right.
So that's just too much. So that was just kind of a point that if we sat on our cash, what would happen?
Yeah.
So we know that we're early on in the D9 program compared to some of the other locations. And the comparison charts for both fresh and wastewater reflect where we would stand in relation to them. But in what relation to them prior to them making the change. Okay, so we know that it's going to take us up a certain percentage when we do this chart. And this chart is very important, especially for the public to see. Can we do an estimate on the others and bump them up proportionally and get a better picture of where we're going to be at the end of the year or the end of next year?
I don't know what other facilities or wastewater systems so it might be difficult to kind of create that, although not knowing that information.
Nothing's easy, I realize.
Yeah.
The problem is this chart is distorted. It's not going to be this next year. It's not going to be the following year,
exactly.
Even further. So
right.
As others jump over this hurdle, it would be nice to put a caveat in there. I don't think that's as beneficial to the residents understanding where we fit. Because right now we jump from the high side. If we took option two, that we'd be number one in wastewater. It is what it is, I understand, but it isn't really going to be that, in my opinion.
Under option one, assuming we did option one for everybody, we want
totally right. It's really interesting.
I think that's one of the issues is that, yeah, our wastewater expenses are extraordinarily high given our geographic location and our friends of the state. But we have the benefit of an extraordinarily low water production.
Oh, yeah, again.
So if you blend them together, I mean, you compare us to just about anybody, and we're running the middle of the pack. And it's just because, you know, a lot of people have kind of medium water costs or medium sewer costs. And we're kind of at the extremes on either end, but if you balance it all out, a utility cost for a resident here is going to would increase by $4 if you do option one on for water and wastewater.
Yeah. Okay. So I got it. And I actually got it. I just did it individually.
Yeah.
$23 is a pretty hefty one.
Yeah. Right.
That's huge. Okay.
Okay. So
going back, I don't know where we go. No matter what we decide, some of this is going to be not all of it's going to be out of public. And I just worry about the one that doesn't show the real what it's going to be.
Well, we'll never know because everybody adjusts their rates at different times. And I think, like Tina says, some people are going to have huge D-night problems. Some are going to have minor D-night problems. Some will have no D-night problems.
Okay.
And therefore, you know, it's like guessing what their salary increases are going to be, guessing how much their utility costs are. Is they, you know, some people have solar, some people don't. Some people take their weight, their methane that they generate at the wastewater treatment plant, and use that for power. And we don't have an apples-to-apples comparison necessarily. I mean, at some point in time, you can say, well, these are the numbers at this point in time. And if this comes up in June, if there's any other adjustments to these other agencies, we can always include those, but I think it's kind of difficult to be surmising what we think the city of Brentwood would do, and they have issues much bigger than this.
So I knew when I asked the question, it would be a near impossibility, but I would still like to see some caveat put on some of the notes on there that show that this is, we're early on.
Yeah, well, we can put, you know, okay, if this would be our effective date under option one, and if we have maybe a little footnote that says Rio Vista last adjusted one day,
okay. Then
we could do, you know, you could say, is this a 2-year-old rate? Was this a rate that was adopted 2 months ago?
Okay.
Maybe that
would be one piece, but, and then what is the time frame for other communities to look at the increasing, bringing in a D-9 for those that have to do it? In other words, make it so that the layman can look at it and understand. So you might get one picture of what Dr. Lee just said. They might see half of it. Maybe you have to throw the other half in there, too. So the last day it was changed, and then when is it going to be changing again? We're just early in the dominoes.
Okay, so what do we need from here?
What we would like to know, and you can expand on this, is we would like to get this before the board with a recommendation from the committee, because it's our understanding that we're on a timeline of Prop 218, so we need to approve a method to move forward. And also, you'll be hearing another special finance committee meeting what rates are. So do we want to wait for that meeting before, if we brought this, that might impact your decision on the amount of financing at that special meeting. So if we got this before the board of directors at the middle of March meeting,
that is our goal. Allison has a calendar here, and she says board meeting informational session on March 18th. So I think that might work.
So if we had a recommendation from this board to you on the 10th, this committee, you can plug all the numbers in and highlight that particular recommendation. We'd also want to present to the board the other stuff, but
So we have a spec, she doesn't know. We have another finance meeting that we're taking on, was it March 9th, I'm sorry?
March 9th. Yeah.
March 9th. And we're talking with our underwriters in terms of it. So if we can get it, what Mark was saying, if we can get a decision at that point, will that work into our calendar here? And I think it might, right?
Okay. So... So on March 18th date, I was suggesting we present the draft report. So if I get new information, so I'm not going to be able to write the report in time for that meeting, but we could present the general results of the rates and just not have that full report written up all the way. The other item is that my proposed schedule here assumes that we have our Prop 218 hearing on June 3rd, but we could bump it all to June 17th. So we could bump everything by 2 weeks and still make the fiscal year deadline.
So if we gave you the information on March 10th, that's not enough time between the 10th and the 18th to turn it?
Produce that draft report.
Okay. Right now, I understood what you said. I just was reiterating it. Thank you.
Especially when board packet, we have to do our internal review, we have to do the deadline for the board packet.
Yeah.
It kind of dominoes.
Yeah, I get it. So.
So can we move up the March 10th meeting to an earlier date?
March 10th. Well, the problem is our, the answer is potentially, but the issue is they have limited availability.
Yeah.
It's really, that meeting is really only going to be about how much really you want to finance and when.
Well, and I, for Prop 218, we just need the rates.
Correct.
We don't need the financing.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And so if, but to get the rate, you'd sort of have to know, you'd have to project out when you think these financings are going to happen.
The financing feeds into the cost
exactly,
of service
yeah.
for the rate plan.
So can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
So, and I actually got this from our new contractor, Mike Duraca. You can actually possibly, correct us if we're wrong, write the Prop 218 to include the highest rate, and you can always lower it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we can do something like that where it could potentially
be
this,
right.
or this
right.
amount, or it could potentially be less, whatever, however
okay.
you want to word it.
So if we... The difference between like options 2 and 1 and 3
mm-hmm.
aren't going to be appreciably different.
No.
No. No. The only thing that's going to be would be appreciably different would be option 2.
Yeah, but no finance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's going to have
right.
real high rates in the short term. So if the report. Inclination, which way I'd like to go with. So if we just did it on the highest possible option, which in this case would be option 1, we can always back off of it.
That's correct.
And it kind of sounds like, at least in my thinking, is that if we can't extend the funds over 3 years, we're not going to go out for a big financing, we're going to go out for 2 or 3 little financings, which would bring it down, more very marginally. So we would be safe on the Prop 218 disclosure.
Yes.
Okay.
And let's continue on that basis for the middle of March meeting.
Okay.
So
option.
We have a March meeting now on the 9th, you said 10.
Well, so it's at, well, no, it's at 2:30 on March 9th. It's not going to serve me, right?
Correct.
Monday? It's a Monday.
So is the direction then to write up the report for both water and sewer, assuming no financing, and then explain that under Proposition 218, you're adopting a legal maximum rate, but then the board can implement.
I said that, and I think I know I'm rethinking what I said. I guess I would like this. I don't think that, in my opinion, the no debt option doesn't seem like a particularly wise one to pursue, in the sense that we're jamming up a bunch of costs over people for 2 years, over a 30-year benefit. So you're going to have people for 2 years to pay for somebody 28 years from now, and I just don't think that's fair to the current customer. So I'm inclined to look at option 1 or 3 as our baseline, and hopefully discuss whether it's going to be 1 or 3 as we get close to it. You can use 1 as your baseline because that's going to produce the largest dollar, and then we can back off by spreading the financings over different years, or we could go to option 3 and spread it out. You know, do it once or spread it out over 3. But by having an option 1 baseline, we're pretty flexible to do anything, with the exception of doing no debt.
And I agree.
And you're talking option 1 for both water and wastewater?
Correct.
Okay.
Any flies in the ointment there?
Option 1 the lowest?
Option 1 is the highest financing amount.
Highest financing amount.
And then, but in water, it's a pretty big number. It's 7.8 million. And to spend that over 3 years.
No, I'm saying it's both of them.
Oh.
You're not going to do it. No matter which one of these, maybe wastewater, you can spend the money over 3 years.
Yes.
But I think that's something we can work out with Brandis Tallman when you've got some, you know, really, I guess, more refined construction schedules and so forth.
Now, maybe I'm confused a little bit. I apologize for this. But isn't the option number 3, excluding no debt, doesn't option number 3 have the higher rate impact on the ratepayer? So if you're going to go with 218, you would want the highest. I got that right?
Yes.
So I think
that
three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's for the not the highest rate. It's not the highest debt. It's the highest rate.
Highest impact to the rate payer.
Okay.
Option 3. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll start writing up the report based on option 3 for both water and sewer, and then you can give me the information from that March 9th meeting, and I can fine tune things.
Sure, but that's not really needed that until June. Yeah.
Okay. Clear on the plan?
Clear on the plan? We're moving forward with the plan?
We're moving forward with that plan.
Okay, yeah.
We need to talk on this.
With respect to your comparison of our rates to other places, as a resident, I don't really care. If we have a well-run organization, our rates are going to be what they are on the thing. And to try and say Rio Vista, you know, is 20 cents a month cheaper or something, I don't think it should make any difference. I mean, if you present a reasonable reason for why you need the rate increase, then it is what it is. So I'm just, that's the public comment.
But you're a little different than the average resident here.
Okay.
But good.
I have a couple of questions that you may be able to answer. So on the water rate study, page 5, line 26, is that where you have cut back from $2 million a year pipeline and equal amount of $500,000, $750,000, $1.1 million? That's where you're bringing your need for borrowing.
Right. So previously that had been $2 million plus a cost, a 3% cost escalator. So yeah, that's where it was reduced.
So you've scaled back what you think you need to do as far as pipelines. No?
May I answer?
Please.
We did not scale back what we need to do with pipelines. What we did is we did an escalating pipeline project. So it wasn't so it should impact on the repair. So we started out with doing two pipelines. grants that we absolutely needed to do. And then the next year, we're going to do maybe half a mile or a mile. And then the next year, a mile and a half. And then to kind of just escalate it over time. So that's
but
what
it will
we
go
see.
Out past this 5-year period.
It will go out past the 5-year period.
It will go on in perpetuity.
Yes, it will.
As long as there's pipes, it will
work. They will be 30-year-old pipes or 40-year-old pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a second question, and you stated that you thought the interest rate would be about 4.15% on the bond.
Right.
But isn't our true cost of borrowing, isn't there an insurance of $1,000, $100,000, and underwriting fees? I think that it is... that you are kind of hiding from what it really costs to borrow this money if you just say that it's 4.15%?
So that's a fantastic question. So it was here in September, and all these issues came up about how much it costs to borrow and what's included or not included. So I can speak to that. But then I think the more important fact is this March 9th or 10th meeting where we'll get the better, more fine-tuned information, which I'll put back in here. But for this initial run, I did assume financing costs, I assumed bond premiums and yields, I looked at the debt service reserve fund, I factored that into the cost as well. So I did do as much modeling as I could possibly do with looking at similar issuances from other local utilities, what their costs were, what their ultimate average interest rate was. So I do agree that, you know, we do need to look into that and factor it all in, and I attempted to do so. But I think the March 9th meeting will fine-tune it.
So whatever the borrowing is includes cost of issues.
Yeah.
All of the trustees, the bond councils, everybody else.
Premiums or discounts.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just to clarify, you increased your rate
to account
for all the
yes.
Okay, so the 4.15%, counts for all of those, or that's just the stated interest rate?
Oh, that's a good clarification. That is the stated interest rate,
okay.
And then on the total amount financed, it's the amount of projects plus all these interest issuance costs, and so the ultimate debt service amount is a little higher to account for that.
Because of one of your other rate studies, you had given a how much it would cost per 100,000 or per million, and you stated an interest rate, and when I ran it through my little HP calculator, there was no way. I mean, it was that you were saying it was like $70,000 of, you know, just examples of a payment, but when I looked at what you stated the interest rate, that was like $55,000, you know. I mean, it's a huge difference between amortizing the debt at 4.15%. So, again, I think it's just a fair disclosure request that the actual true cost of all the borrowing, not just be said it's 4.15%, it's a hell of a lot more than that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And the cost of issuance is disclosed in all the bond documents. It shows who we pay everything to.
Because
there's a stack.
And this is really intended to be a very rough planning level estimate. Really, the detailed information is going to come from the underwriter meeting.
So, Mike,
great. Appreciate it. Okay. So the next time we see this, we'll discuss that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison. We'll see you.
Thank you very much.
for emergency cleanup of hazardous materials and waste. And I changed the spending in that, the general manager authorization spending. It was $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at some other agencies and I bumped it up to about $1 million. So I wanted to know your thoughts on that. You know, other agencies in here, if there is a major emergency, at $10,000, the general manager really doesn't have authorization to do anything. Costs for emergency repairs, cleanups can be extremely costly. So we thought $1 million. We have to keep all receipts, we have to show all purchases, we have to come to the board and explain them all to you still. So we thought that that was a good amount to go up to.
What are our nearby agencies, what are their
$1 million? They are.
So this would be, okay, we have a big spill,
yes.
We need to get contractors and
yes.
equipment and whatever out here as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to competitively bid it, we just have to get it done.
The levee breaks.
Avoiding
yeah.
a
yep.
big refiner.
Absolutely, earthquake, levee break, any serious emergency.
Would it be, I don't know, $1 million. I paid only $750,000, and it goes, the money, the cash goes quick. Is there a, and I have since I haven't read this, if the event happens,
yes.
and you're required to just get stuff done,
mm-hmm.
at what point do you notify the board? Is
that a well, that would be in our emergency plan,
okay.
And so there is a process for the board declaring an emergency, but you have to get the board together, and
right.
then there's some procedures
yeah.
for that.
But if this happens and you don't have time to get the board together and you're going to do it, is there a way, yeah, but is there a requirement that you notify the board individually as a group ASAP? I just contracted with XYZ for $500,000 to fix something.
Not an emergency policy. I don't have that in here.
Okay.
Like if you have it in an emergency
yeah.
policy, that was
yeah. After the fact,
yeah,
you've got to come to the board and get it all.
Yeah.
But
right. We would want to declare an emergency as soon as possible. So
yeah.
there would be a special emergency
yeah.
board meeting now
yeah.
as soon as possible.
Yes.
But under this, what you're saying is something just broke and I've got to do it. I don't have time for a meeting. I don't have time for a discussion.
I need
to
get
the wall rolling.
I got
to get
yes,
this done.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, you're right. So as that wall is rolling, how does the board know?
I can tell you the practical answer. I don't know that that's written down. The board's going to know as soon as I come up for air that we just had a breach
yeah, right.
or an earthquake.
Yeah.
This is the plan we have. And you're not going to see every single expenditure,
right.
but you're going to get a general overview of what's taking place. And that obviously we're going to be operating the emergency operations center. We're going to do the whole typical plan, NIM, SIMS, stuff, and we're going to get into that. And part of that process will be getting the whole board as soon as possible for that declaration of emergency and providing that information.
So I'm going to go back to the basics. The purpose of this is to streamline the emergency events.
Yes.
That's the whole goal.
That's for this one paragraph.
So we've taken dollar figures and increased them fairly
yes.
dramatically.
Yes, I did.
And we're giving it to the general manager.
That's correct.
And I think you've got a great point. It says if the general manager makes that, we allow this, streamlines it, and we know there's been situations where this has been beneficial and needed. But how do we get back to the board? Should we squeeze in a committee into there? Does that make it easier? And I think the reason you want to take it off
committee
is the time frame that it takes to get the board to come in. I got it all.
Okay.
But how do you keep the board involved? And what you just gave Bob's belief is this is the way it works.
Yes.
Fundamentally works, but it doesn't say it.
Right.
So how do we get that to say
it? It says it in the emergency plan.
Okay.
When you make a notification. If I'm going to be spending $1 million, or anything under this of a significant expense, we probably have a significant emergency. And there has to be a declaration of emergency. And part of that is involving the board, the board president, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so all those notices will go out at that time while I'm trying to get the board together for that declaration of emergency. And there's certain steps that we have to take in order to get reimbursement funds from the state under a lot of situations.
Okay.
So we would bring this before the board or the committee's recommendation. Surplus property?
Yep. Again, an original and a proposed. We're going to be looking at the last page, the last paragraph. Original document on the last page, it states that any surplus property and any proceeds we receive go back to the general fund. We don't have a general fund, or we don't want that to happen. So what I did is change it to the department that spends the money to purchase the product. If they do a surplus of it or sell it or auction it, that money should go back into that department's
fund. So if you sell wastewater asset, it goes back to wastewater. If you sell water asset, it goes back to water. If it's landscaping, it goes back to landscaping.
That's correct.
And if you ever have a federal grant, that's what you have to do anyway.
Yes. So I wanted to clarify that, make that a little more clean, and so that's the part we changed.
We'd like to review our policies annually and clean them up as necessary. No questions, no problem.
Okay, any future agenda?